You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Sif Spoil for the Tomorrow War. We are going to talk about all the hanging threads, romances, jokes, Easter eggs, cameos, deaths, resurrections, and post-credit sequences.
They all die in
for
the future.
A good portion of them do.
In the Tomorrow War. I don't know where you guys want to start. I want to start with the moment we talked about being pleased with the movie, not withholding its secret.
And, yeah.
Because we find out that she's his daughter, which we all knew. If not in that moment, shortly before that, not long before we found out, I mean, we only met her, just a little bit before we found out. And I just love that it was very matter of fact. It was like, no, I'm your daughter, I guess it did give us a second to deal with their last name being the same
Last name's Forrester too,
For me, that went on about 60 seconds too long, where Chris Pratt is just like, oh, Forrester, how do you spell that? And you can just, I don't know, how long was that shot on his face where you can see the cogs turning, and it's like, oh, you're my daughter.
But that's how it would happen, though, right?
I guess in reality, you're in the future.
No.
The first thing you think of is, where is my daughter? Is she okay?
Is he saying to the stranger, potentially, are you my daughter?
Yeah.
Any stranger than being in the future fighting aliens? Context, people.
Well, that's what I'm saying, man. He's been through some stuff, He can't just automatically assume.
So here's why I want to go there first, because one of my issues with the movie, story-wise, is that character, is the 30 years from now daughter character, and because of the way the movie handles time travel with obviously being, branching timelines that can be changed, you invest in something...
That was my biggest issue.
You invest in something that is, really sad, and she dies not knowing. Either. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really tough moment. Not only that, she's lived a life where he apparently left them. And, so now we're dealing with a character who I kind of don't like as much anymore. Like, because as much as he says, I would never leave you, the movie is saying he did, right?
You did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that part of it, I mean, obviously, I get what the movie is doing here. But it was the part of it that I was just like, this makes it a lot harder for me to buy into the stakes, to buy into the characters, and to feel any kind of resolution or, good stuff. I mean, I think we're supposed to be invested in the fact that she, created the toxin. And that, so her life wasn't in vain, but it kind of was in her timeline.
that's the biggest issue I had, because I don't know if he's just stupid, but He said, that's cool. I'm going to take the toxin. I agree. I'll go back and I'll do that. But then I'm going to come back and save you. I was like, do you not understand how this works? Like, when you do that, this timeline doesn't exist. Or does it exist?
I think it does.
Like, the movie isn't clear.
Yeah,
it doesn't say whether we're dealing with branching or one.
It's branching
thing.
Is what they say.
I mean, it has to be branching. If you can change anything, it has to be branching.
Yeah, they even say... they repeatedly say your timeline and our timeline, and I think that's indicative of branching off.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So,
but it also
maybe they've done enough to change. Yeah,
but this is the thing about time travel movies, and the reason I hate branching time travel movies. If you want to think about them logically, this means they are sending hundreds, if not thousands, of people back and forth every week. Do you know how many different timelines they have created?
Yeah.
Because everybody coming back is different than the person they would have been if they had never gone. So like, it's just like the entirety, when you start to think about it, the entire scope of the way they are messing with time is such a muddled mess that it almost doesn't mean anything. And that's why branching timelines always, you know, are annoying to me, especially in a case where you're dealing with so many people who, you know, are changing what happens. The world that Pratt comes back to, it may not even be the same timeline he left, because there are other people who have come back in, like, so it's
how do you know unless you arrive back in the exact second that you left? That's the only way it happens. And that's what I thought they were going for. But,
no, because the times go down the river together. So
they still keep going. That's it. But that whole, the way they handled the time travel did take me out of the movie, because why is that the easiest option? Why was inventing time travel and recruiting an army from the past? Well, A, you're hampering the past's ability to fight this war, because not everybody is coming back. They can't.
Mm-hmm.
And B, why didn't you go further back? Because then you've got more opportunities.
Well, they asked about that. They winked at that one. Somebody did ask, well, why don't you just go back further? And they said, I can't remember which it was. It was either the duct tape and chewing gum thing where it was like, you know, we only had the resources.
It was how power intensive, they could only pick one point. That doesn't mean they couldn't have picked a point further back.
I know. I'm almost sure somebody asked that specific question and they had an
Charlie
answer.
Charlie did.
So.
Yeah, but, his friend. He asked, why can't we do this again? Why can't we set up more machines to go further back? I'm saying instead of going back 30 years, why not go back further?
Yeah.
It had something to do with. It also had something to do with the people who initially were sent back in time weren't born yet. And
oh no, you're right. That is it.
And then it has something to do with everybody that was being sent forward in time was in their 40s,
and weren't
because
in the
they would have died.
Which
before
which
the
makes
war.
No sense in the rules it's setting up. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't... if you're dealing with branching timelines, why does any of that matter?
Yeah, because that means you're not going to die now, by definition, because your timeline's different. You didn't, especially since he dies in a car crash. So he's not taking that journey anymore. That's a trip to the store that he's probably not going to take.
Right.
But I'm just like, why... Isn't it harder to invent time travel instead of a toxin? Like, why was time travel the answer? Like, and if it is the answer, go back to 1990, you've got 50 years now to work on the toxin. Just send 10 scientists back with proof of the future, 50 years to work on the toxin, inject the first one. You don't have to send millions of people
well,
to
they don't
their death
know, they
in
don't
the
know
future.
Where the problem, one of the problems the movie sets up is they don't know how it starts, where all of a sudden the world was overrun with them. So, you know, that's kind of the third act is
what
figuring
what
that
I
out.
Think. What I think is, it doesn't matter how far back they sent, they went back initially, because this right here is when they started out, and this is where they traveled back to. So the moment that they travel back to this moment, those two points in time are moving, like, coinciding, like,
that's the rules
of the
movie,
Yeah. So, it wouldn't matter of when they went back to, they still would have had the time from when time travel was invented to whenever the white spikes destroyed that time machine thing out in the ocean. Right. So
right.
say that was
right.
say that was like what
in
was
the
it,
present
two
day
years,
they do.
Two
Sorry,
years
in the
or something
future
like
they
that.
Do. Yeah.
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 Because he's right. So he's right about the future. They're trying to save their timeline. Even if they know it's branching timelines, they're trying to figure out the best way to save their timeline. Best way to save their timeline is not improved by going any further back. They still only have a couple weeks before they're totally overrun, whether they go back 50 years or 30 years. But and if you go back,
they know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But if they, if the end, yeah, we could do this.
Listen,
a lot.
We are
so
all
we could talk
Bruce
about the
Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt sitting at the table looking at toothpicks and straws and going,
exactly. And Jeff Daniels is like,
yeah.
And Jeff Daniels is like, I don't want to talk about it. It's just going to fry your brain.
Yeah.
But is there any other element besides the time travel aspect of this movie that you wanted to talk about?
Like, yeah, no,
I want to talk about the third act.
Yeah, no, no, definitely. I think if I wanted to finish up kind of any thoughts I had, it would be about the impact of the relationships because of the multiple timelines and that kind of stuff. And I think I already kind of stated those things. So, so yeah, we can definitely talk about the third act.
Yeah. Well, for, I want to talk about first that scene on the beach with Yvonne and Chris Pratt and how she is talking about, you know, how he left, you know, and stuff like that. That hit me on an emotional level because that introduced an element to this movie that I did not know that I wasn't expecting, but I welcomed. It was the hypocrisy, you know, like he was chastising his father for leaving, you know, and then he finds out that he just walked right in his father's shoes and left his family in the future. And that this movie is also about forgiveness in that way, you know, like she was able to forgive him, so he should be able to forgive his father. And that scene where she dies, where she's falling into that pit of White Walkers in the ocean, he jumps in after her to
spikes.
Oh, white, oh, white spikes, yeah, not white, white walkers. And we're not Game of Thrones-ing it here. But yeah, she like she's falling into the pit of the white spikes at the end of her story, and he like jumps after her. So he is giving her the peace and the joy of a father who wouldn't abandon her, who would, you know, die for her. So she got to see that. So yes, it's sad that she dies, but she goes out in a way to where she gets to see the father she remembers, the one who loved her and who would do anything for her. So I think that it was actually a very beautiful way to see that Miri go out, because she went out with a smile on her face.
Yeah.
Now for the third act of this movie, the beginning of this movie sets up with that one student who's talking about volcanoes.
Yeah.
And it's one of the most painfully obvious, like, oh God, so this is, so yeah, you're going to come back into play, aren't you? Because this has nothing to do.
Call me the idiot. I did not see
Volcano Kid.
What's
oh, what? He was.
Why? It's totally slipping my brain. The gun. The
Chekhov's gun.
Yeah, I didn't see Chekhov's volcano coming back. I just didn't.
As it was erupting. He was either going to be somebody in the future that played a key role, or it was a callback of some sort.
I totally missed that. But yeah.
No, like, as soon as they said it, I'm like, well, you're going to come back to the end of this movie and save the day, aren't you?
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Or, but I just thought that whole scene in the third act where they're talking about the Chinese sand and the claw, and like that seemed like it was from a different. That seemed like that was from the movie that Chloe and, you know, the other two were in.
Yeah, the Edgar Wright
movie.
Felt
like, yeah, it just it felt like more of the Armageddon, Edgar Wright, like you
2012,
said, yeah, kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah, and that's where I think that the movie falls flat, because the second half in the future, everything is serious, and there are very, for me, powerful moments where you're like, oh man, this father-daughter stuff is heartbreaking. Then he goes back to his time, and he's doing all this slapstick stuff almost, to where you're like, you got to get
the alien in the face.
Yeah,
it is. Punches
yeah,
it.
You know, you're right. I think this movie does. I think I was giving this movie a little more grace than I needed to on its tone shifts. There are some distinct tonal inconsistencies in this movie, and I think that's. I'm glad we're talking about.
That's
this.
What I was getting at with how many different films it's trying to be, and mm-hmm. I think I would have been really happy if it picked one of them mm-hmm. and ran in that direction.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't know how they would do it, but I really would have appreciated if they never would have gone down the rabbit hole of trying to explain how the white spikes got here, what they were doing on the ship, and stuff like that. If they would have just left it a mystery, like if they just kept saying, oh, we don't know how they got here, we don't know how they got here, I think I would have appreciated it more, because that's not what the movie is about. The movie is about forgiveness. The movie is about, you know, family and love and sacrifice. And
but don't you think we're supposed to transition into the so we're supposed to flip the generation, right? So like once we resolve father-daughter, that's supposed to flip to father-son.
Yeah, totally agree.
Like that's what the movie is trying to do, is it's trying to kind of flip that and go, okay, now your emotional investment is in J.K. Simmons and Chris Pratt finding
resolution.
I'm just saying, yeah, I totally agree with you. I'm just saying you don't need the let's explain the origin of the aliens to do that. Pull a note from A Quiet Place. You never know, you know, like you can see the beginning of that. I'm talking about the first movie specifically. But you know, it's very much a like, you don't need to know where they came from or anything like that.
But you do need to stop it, though.
You do kind of, because if without, you're trying to avoid because, it from happening.
Well, yeah, and the sacrifice becomes impotent, right? Like the sacrifice becomes unimportant if we don't see him do something with the toxin, right? Like the.
Yeah.
No. I'm going specifically, nailing down specifically, I don't like how they try to explain the origin of how the aliens got on Earth.
But don't you have to do a little bit of that?
I don't think
in
you
order
have
for the
to.
Toxin
think,
to be used.
No,
well, all
I
they
think
said
you
is
could,
that there was a ship. That was, there's not much more than that, and they have to have got here somehow. They're aliens.
Yeah, I think that they could have done a way where it's like just a montage at the end, you know, or like we were ready this time or something like that. Just have Chris, or have even better, have Yvonne. I know she's dead, but just to hear her, you know, like a "we won" or "we were ready this time" or something like that.
Just
you
do
know?
A Terminator Sarah Connor voiceover.
Sarah
style.
Connor, yeah. Hell, if you want to have, you know, just a black road at night with the high beams on while she's talking,
boom, 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 boom.
I'm down for that. And then you have the.
I'm not sure I agree. I'm not sure I 100% agree, but I do feel like I understand what you're saying. And
this is personal preference as opposed to a critique of the movie. You know,
yeah,
I do think I just better. Think, hell no, I couldn't.
I do think, I think the, go ahead, Ian.
No, I'll just say I think the third act works better if J.K. Simmons is on the journey with Pratt. I don't know how you would work that out, but if he plays a bigger role and you've got the three generations talking about abandonment, and he's almost there as a you abandoned her, yeah? Not on your high horse anymore, are you? And they just work through that a bit more together. There's more punch in the third act rather than daddy's here to save the day. Because he kind of comes out of left field a bit. It's, I need a pilot, really. He's the only one that's going to help you here, really? Does it have to be him?
And out of all
I mean, for the movie,
the...
it does.
Chekhov's helicopter. Like,
And out of all the volcanologists on the planet, You're going to trust a high schooler to tell you everything you need to know.
There's a lot of little stuff like that.
But I'm saying, like, that's the stuff where it's a big tonal shift for me.
Can I tell you what I was...
the first act and the second act.
Can I tell you where I was hoping the story was going? Now, this part of this comes from... And by the way, we try not to hold a movie accountable for, you know, our own, like... What it could have been, you know, kind of things. But... when I was watching it, I was feeling, I always lean towards a, unified timeline, type of time travel. That's always my favorite. Because I think it logically, you can think it through a little bit better anytime you, you know, introduce multiple timelines. We've already gone down this road, in this, spoiler.
Sure.
As I was leaning that, I thought we were going to deal with the conundrum or paradox of him having to leave his family so that she would become who she becomes. So he would, in order to save the world, has to abandon them because...
The 12 monkeys effect, yeah.
Right. So I thought we were coming down to a decision of, do I choose my family over the planet? And, you know, the movie...
Because that's the grandfather paradox. That right. is... Would he have abandoned her, or is he abandoning her because she told him he abandons her because she told it?
Well, this is what Arrival did so well. And I was thinking maybe we could gone in a similar direction to that. The movie wasn't interested in going there, and that's okay. The movie can be what it wants to be, but you know, for me, there's just a lot lost because I do think that's an interesting thing, because she would not be the scientist she is if he hadn't abandoned her. And, you know, so much of her, because a lot of them were talking about her determination. She never leave, you know, like, you know, there's a real element of her pain of her life probably led her to be driven like that. Anyhow, it was a theme that I felt like it was right there for the taking, but that's just
would have been good.
Not how they wanted,
and it still has to happen.
Yeah, yeah, but it didn't have to happen because they can change the future and create different timelines. Apparently, so there you go. Anything else that we want to talk about as it deals with the Tomorrow War? Any other?
He punches the alien in the face.
Not only that, but he drives a snowmobile
into the snowmobile. I dug. I liked the snowmobile.
Yeah,
move.
That's fine.
That's fun. Like, I can imagine totally that, you know, like knocking over one of those things, but punching them in the face is
just
dumb. Ugh. It's silly. It's complete silliness, especially one of those, you know, creatures with all those spikes who apparently they have unlimited spikes. Like, the movie never really dealt with it, but they were shooting, you know, pretty much nonstop with those things. So they had like semi-automatic spike tendrils, you know, like it was
regardless of that, man, that creature design is top.
Oh, it's great. And it's fresh. It's new. I've never seen anything really like good.
It was easy to see. It wasn't dark. It wasn't in shadows. They were just like, here's the aliens. We're not going to hide them.
It was a white creature. Mm-hmm. Like, wait, I can actually see this thing?
Proper
even
contrast.
When they were like in the caves and stuff. You can clearly make out that distinction. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite shots in this movie is when they first get there after they splat on the rooftop. Is like they
after they don't splat on the rooftop.
A couple of them did.
I want every able-bodied person to come with me. Dude, I was able-bodied until I got dropped on a roof.
Yeah. But is you seeing the white spikes walk around in the fog and the dust and stuff like that, and you can't really quite make them out. That just that moment of building up tension, I loved it.
I loved the World War Z moment at the end, you know, where it's just all of them going over the barricades. And
I'm all for that.
Yeah, no, I thought that was great. I loved
that. I wish we'd lived in that a little bit more. I just the unnecessary sacrifice to end all unnecessary sacrifices of them in the underpass when he's broken his legs and she's like, it's fine, I'm going to stay and shoot them all and needlessly die. Just, were you fed up with the comedy in the film? Because, I mean, I was, but I didn't think you were, because you just killed all of the comedy and then Charlie just gets sent off to another mission, apparently.
No,
just,
I'm done
with that bit of the film now.
One of the comedy people stuck around, so... So yeah, we still had a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. There is our spoilery thoughts on Tomorrowland World of Tomorrow.
No time to tomorrow.
No time to live, repeat tomorrow.
Ian, you said you wanted to talk about, I know we're trying to wrap this one up, but you said you wanted to talk about the, what was his name? The Tomorrow War. He was
the guy that keeps coming back.
His name was Dorian, I think was his name.
The guy that died where he was like, I will die on my terms.
Yeah, on my terms.
Way more interested in his story. I don't think he's a very likable person because he's just like, yeah, everyone here is going to die other than me because I've got skills. But way more interested in his story and his determination. I don't know, I just think it was a slightly darker take. And I don't know, it's probably because I just wasn't invested in Chris Pratt's character.
Yeah.
So I latched onto him a bit more.
There you go.
Interesting. Okay, that was it.
All right, well, there you go. There's the Tomorrow War, and there should be another Sip Spoil in your feed for No Sudden Move, and we will do that next. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.